Welcome to the In Hope Podcast, where each Monday we drop a new episode to help strengthen unity in the body of Christ. We want you to be part of the conversation, so make sure you comment, like, share, and follow. I'm your host, Preach. We got a great conversation for you today. Let's get into it. I was reading this because this came across me and just our church context, and just living in a way that is on mission. It's intentional, trying to be incarnational, trying to be, the kingdom, the presence of God within your community. And this was a really cool thing that I came across. But when I was reading through it, my mindset, as usual, I start thinking about how does this play in with unity, right, within the body of Christ. And so we're going to look at each one of these, and we're going to just kind of, we can talk about it in the missional space, but I also want to just kind of take that lens to it as well of, okay, how is this the same when it comes to unity? Do we need this factor, this P, and how does that play into it? So I'm going to read over them real quick, and then we'll just go back from the top and we'll hit each one. So we have number one, presence. Number two, proximity. Number three, prevenience. Number four, powerlessness. Number five, passion. And number six, proclamation. All right. So
prevenience. I don't know if I've ever even heard of that.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. All my Reformed theology Baptist folks know about that one.
Okay. Guess that wasn't. That's not where I grew up. So
no, I hear you. So what's it called? But let's start. We're going to start with presence. All right. So right here on the presence, we're just, and this is an article. I should probably put this in the show notes so people can actually go read this article.
Look down in the notes.
Yeah, this thing is great. But I'm just going to take like the short, quick reflection question with each one. So presence, how deeply are you planted in a particular place or among a particular people? How deeply are you planted? And so, again, they're coming at this from a mission standpoint. Mm-hmm. How deeply are you planted in your community? How deeply are you planted in the place or among a particular people? I've heard churches say, for example, you know, if our church was to close its doors tomorrow, would it impact our community? Like, how deeply are you planted in there, right? How much do you know people, and how much do people know you? And so when it comes to unity, as I was going through these, I'm like, oh man, that's exactly, you need that for unity. You need that for unity within the church. And presence, like, how deeply are you planted among a people or within a place? Mm-hmm. We talk about all the time how it's like, you need to be present. You need to have those authentic relationships, right?
Yeah. Within the community.
Within your community, yes. Right?
Because you can't exist in just your space.
Yeah.
And nobody outside of that space really knows who you are or what you're about.
Exactly. Yeah absolutely. And you can think about that. We're just thinking about even social media, right? Like some people, that's where they're living their life, right? On the screen, or, you know, to work and back and that type of thing. But if you are not present, and that's something that I talk about, guys, when I get together and we're talking about just really trying to grow as disciples. One of those things we address is presence. How attentive are we? Mm-hmm. Even, for example, when we're at the dinner table, right? When we're spending time with our family, are we really with them? Mm-hmm. Are we present? Are we getting to know them? Are we hearing them? Are we hearing their heart? Are we understanding them? And so when it comes to this idea of presence, to me, this just screams like, hey, am I in deep relationship here? And are we actually like sharing a context into where our lives interweave? And we can't just disappear without there being something of note.
Yeah.
And I think that's big when it comes to unity, because if you chop off the hand, I feel like the body should realize it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that makes sense, right? Because he talks about, I mean, we've talked about that before, the different parts of the body. And and how we all have a place. And so if one of those is missing, we should notice it.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely. And so, yeah. So when it comes to kind of practicing that, this idea of being present, I think that comes back to us actually making sure we're spending time with others within our community, that we're connected. I've used to work at a church in a city outside of my city. Right. And so I lived in one city, worked at a church in the other. And it always tore my heart because I felt like, man, I want to be there. Like,
yeah, I want to be in the community.
I want to be in that community. But then it would tear my heart about my own community that I lived in because it's like, I'm never here. I don't really know my neighbors well. And we don't. And so it's one of those things to where it's like, yeah, we want to be present. We want to be active there. Mm-hmm. And, I think that's the same thing. If we're talking about unity in the body of Christ, a lot of times when we're looking at that, we're thinking, okay, the church of this city or the church of that city, you know, all the different little congregations there are. Mm-hmm. But are we present? Meaning, are we interacting with one another, right? Mm-hmm. And having that that presence with each other to where we are deeply connected.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think when it comes to practicing that, that means walking in to some other churches sometimes, maybe visiting some other pastors.
I think even the networking stuff that I do within NYM and the pastor networks that are around, like that's part of that.
Yeah, that's a way of
being present with each other and knowing what the big church is doing together.
Yeah,
and who's doing what, like who's doing the food bank, who's doing this, who's doing that.
Yeah,
and there's a presence there. That creates unity.
Yeah. And I feel like it's a matter of also prioritizing, placing value and getting in the same space. Cause so often it can be easily seen as, I don't have room in my calendar for that.
Right.
Right. Or that's going to take me away from what I need to be doing here or these different things. And it's just a matter of prioritizing and saying, no, I need to be present, with the other, you know, the other shepherds here within our city. And
I do have a pulse on what's going on with the bigger church.
Yep.
And actually, I think we've talked about this before. Treasure Valley is pretty good at that. I just went yesterday to a Meridian, had their mayor's prayer breakfast kind of thing.
Yeah,
and that I was pleasantly surprised with just how many churches were present and business owners. And it's more of a chamber.
Exactly.
Like, but that's, again, it's like we're also in presence with the community, not just other pastors, but also the business owners and like,
absolutely,
how are we all working together? Because, you know, they got good hearts and a lot of them are Christians. And so like, how do we work together as a community?
Exactly.
And being present at those kind of things is how that happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was super early in the morning. It easily could have been one of those things like, I don't want to get up this morning.
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah. Those things usually happen early.
Yeah.
Cause they're trying to get it in, get it done.
So they can get to work and do that. Yeah.
Yep. So another one is proximity. How much are you engaged in daily relationships in that place? So proximity, like how close or how are you engaged in daily relationships? Are you seeing these people, talking with them on a daily basis? Right. And some of us, I mean, I can understand this, to think daily, like, man, I can't see all y'all.
Yeah, we don't hit it daily very much in the U.S.
No. But I mean, even I feel like for a lot of us to say monthly is a stretch. Right.
Yeah.
So how do we get to that place to where we have more proximity? We're in conversation more. We're seeing each other more, engaged in daily, weekly, monthly relationship and not once a year type of deal.
Yeah. Right? Which I'm assuming that's based on just the idea of the Acts Church.
Yeah.
It says they broke bread and met daily.
Day to day.
Praised and did all the things. And they basically had church every day in that regard.
Right.
And it's really hard for us to get to there. But I do think, we do that in some ways. Like that's what life groups and small groups tend to be.
Yeah.
Is that because you're hopefully seeing that same group of people on Sunday and then Wednesday or Thursday or whatever that
is. Exactly.
And I know I've been part of churches and really gotten into those swings, and it can feel a little overwhelming too, trying to fit it all in. Yeah. But at the same time, it's been some of the strongest times, faith wise, and just and just feeling support from other people and being supportive of other people mm-hmm. that I've ever had.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say, I feel like the idea of a small group, those smaller gatherings, they really help give you a good idea of these things. I mean, the whole intention in that is because we see what they did in the book of Acts, right? And they mm-hmm. were meeting day to day, and we're saying you need to get in smaller groups to have more relationship and spend more time with each other. If we even make that just like a weekly check off the list, then I think we missed the mark on this. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's one of those things as well to where you can't do this with everyone, but you need to have your people.
Yes.
And that's, again, looking at the church throughout history, early church, first few centuries, it wasn't a matter of every believer being in contact with each other and knowing each other.
With every believer.
Yeah. With every believer.
That's impossible.
No, it's exactly. It's impossible, right? Yeah. Even with social media and, you know, our technology today, like that's impossible. Yeah. But you can have your group, that gathering that you're near to, that's local to you, mm-hmm. and you can be in regular contact. And it's even more possible now because you don't have to see each other. You can just shoot a text message.
Yeah, right? That's true.
And so it's even more possible now. And we need to take advantage of that and realize that by being connected. So when you're connected in this small group, usually, we're going to talk just your general prevailing model setup. Say you have, you know, 1,000-person church, mm-hmm. too big for a pastor to know everybody. Right.
Yeah.
But that pastor is going to know like his lead team mm-hmm. real closely. Right.
Yeah.
But then on that lead team, there's likely somebody on that lead team who is over the small groups. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, that lead team is closely connected to that pastor. Those small groups are closely connected to that small groups pastor who's on that lead team, mm-hmm. right? Then your small group leader, right? Yeah. Your small group leader is really connected, closely connected to you, and your group is closely connected to one another, right? Mm-hmm. And so through that, you have this chain where your whole church is closely connected, even though you don't know everybody in your church. Mm-hmm. And that's really the idea here. And what you see within the early church, not
it's like a web,
everybody didn't know each other. Yeah. But it's like a web. You have these social networks, these social webs where you're making yourself in proximity and present with other believers, and that ends up extending into more and more of the body. Mm-hmm. So, we don't need to know everyone, but we should have our people that we are in proximity with. We're talking to on the regular.
Yeah, because it creates the iron sharpens iron.
Absolutely.
Creates accountability, creates support.
Yeah.
There's so many things that come from that.
Yeah. But again, I mean, I think I'm going to say this on every single one of these. It's you have to prioritize it. It's too easy just to let days
it's
go
easy
by
to
and get filled and
just stay home.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Oh, I love this one. This is the one that you said. Okay. I haven't seen.
Oh, yeah.
One.
This word.
The provenience.
Provenience.
Yes.
That's provenient. Sorry, that's probably not a word.
So provenience. And this is a great question to go with it. How aware are you of what God is already doing? So this provenience, prevening grace, this is why I say our Reformed and Baptist friends know this word. It's this idea of God going before, mm-hmm. right? And so when you have this provenience, it's recognizing, okay, God is likely already at work here. Mm. And so
is it kind of like a recognition of his omnipotence?
Yeah, it's a recognition of his omnipotence, but recognizing also that he's at work and we're joining him. We're mm-hmm. not stirring something up.
We're not doing it all on our
own. We're not stirring something up. He is already at work and we're joining him in that work.
Yeah.
And so we're being a co-laborer with him.
It says awareness of what he's doing.
Yep.
So just recognizing that he's in everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it's also, I mean, being able to kind of cue and see when, okay, God's stirring in this person, right? Mm. And being more sensitive in conversations to where people may be, you know, dealing with some spiritual questioning or different things and realizing, oh, God's been softening this person's heart.
Right.
Right.
God, and talking to God there. About it. Right.
Right. Exactly.
So like we're having our one-on-one discussions with God. We're asking the Holy Spirit to lead us.
Exactly.
Because we know he's there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then so kind of, I mean, Jesus said, right, I don't do anything unless I see the Father doing it. Mm-hmm. It's like that idea. Okay. He's just joining God in what God's doing, right? That's what we're supposed to be doing, is joining God in what he's doing. How do you not see this in unity?
How do you not?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's no way of...
Well, that's unity
around
with the Spirit, right?
Right. Well, I mean, there's no way of getting around of recognizing, look, God is trying to unite and bring unity within his church.
Yeah.
I mean, we see that from Jesus's prayer in John 17.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We see that so much throughout scripture, like these passages that we're reading in Ephesians and 1 Corinthians. It's like God and is calling us to unite under that banner of Christ, right? Mm-hmm. And so with that being the, I'm going to turn back here to Ephesians. It's Ephesians chapter 1.
Well, listening to God, before I get into listening to God does unify the church. And
absolutely,
I've seen this so many times. This happens all the time. Like you'll see these themes from God come through the church as a whole. Like you'll go to a conference or some bigger event of the church,
mm-hmm.
and you'll be like, man, we were just talking about this in my church.
Exactly.
Like this was just coming up.
Doesn't
that happen all the time?
God's echoing all over
His
the place.
His echo is everywhere. And so if we are listening to him, he is bringing us into unity because he's talking to everybody. He's usually giving everybody kind of the same message based on the times.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9, I love this, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. So the mystery of his will, making this known to us as a plan for the fullness of time. What is it? What's this mystery? What's this plan? To unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. God's been at work on this.
Yeah, he's always working on that.
He's been working on this, guys. Yeah. And so, like, even what we're doing now regularly and having these conversations and this idea of if we're going to be unifiers and start practicing unity in the body of Christ more, it's recognizing, okay, this isn't something that we're just doing. Like, this isn't a good idea. No, we're joining God in what he's been doing.
What he's been doing.
Right? Yeah. And so, and that should... That should get you a little excited.
Yeah. It makes it like, oh, okay, we didn't have to just come up with this.
No.
We're just doing what we see the Father do.
Well, and it's funny because so often we wonder, like, what am I supposed to be doing? You know, am I in the will of God? And you can't be wrong if you just decide to do what you know God's already doing, right? It's like, well, we're supposed to be following Jesus. So what is Jesus doing? Well,
let's all work towards that.
Yeah, exactly. Let's join him in that. what's this? Number four is powerlessness. Mm. Doesn't that just sound great? Powerlessness.
I want to be powerless.
How much are you embracing the service of others?
Oh, so is this kind of like, how much are you willing to let go of things and work with the body rather than just all by yourself? Is that kind of what I'm getting out of that?
Yeah. So what's it called? So up in the...
Not I had just to being like, I need to keep all the power myself.
Right. Yeah. Well, in this, there... So I want to read the where he listed off earlier in the paragraph,
because
I feel like that question can be a little misleading with this one, but you'll understand why the question works with it when you go through it. He says, powerlessness, rejecting coercion and embracing servanthood. Mm-hmm. So it's this idea of recognizing like we don't have the power to change people. Again, our Reformed brothers will understand this. We don't have the power to save people.
Yeah, we just have the power to be obedient.
To be obedient and to serve others.
Yeah.
Right? So how much are you embracing the service of others? Meaning like I'm here to serve.
Yeah. I'm just going to do what God tells me to do and let him do the power work.
The power work, okay. Right? Because we don't have the power to make those deep heart changes and renewing the mind. But we have the power to serve. Like that's, we can just show up and we can serve. And so this is a good one. I want your thoughts on this one. When it comes to unity, how do you see that playing a role there?
Oh, well, I mean, if we're serving each other,
yeah,
there is unity in that.
Absolutely.
Because we're working, like we recognize the need to be in community and be with each other and helping each other.
Yeah.
So you can't do that alone.
No.
Well, so it's almost like a have to.
Yeah.
Somewhat be in unity there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and what's interesting is something that just came to my mind, especially as we're just talking about like having disagreements in public places, because we're talking about all that. Talk about having disagreements, you know, embracing this idea of no coercion and just saying, I'm going to serve. It even takes me to this thought of, it's not my job to convince you and change your mind.
Mm.
Right. Like it's not my job to win the debate and those types of things. I'm here to serve you.
Yeah.
And man, that can be hard with people you have disagreement with.
What?
Right?
What do you mean?
What, exactly, right? Like that can be hard with those that you have disagreement with.
Yeah.
But how beautiful would it be? How much would that show the love and the unity of Christ to others looking in when they can see us having civil disagreement and still loving and serving one another?
Well, I mean, Jesus washed Judas's feet too, right?
Oh, don't go. Why'd you
I brought up the foot washing.
Why'd you gotta go there? Oh, man.
Because it's funny, you know, I went, every time I've heard that, you know, so if you don't know the story, Jesus washes the feet of the disciples, which is putting himself pretty low into a service state. Yeah. He's like, do this for other people. And I know, like, I'd heard that many times in my younger childhood, just the story of it. And I don't think I ever realized the gravity of what that actually feels like until I did it one time.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah.
And he did wash Judas's feet, which he knew Judas was going to betray him. So he was an enemy.
And after he fed him, I'm going to wash your feet. I'm going to feed you.
And then you'll go to betray me. Give you a holy kiss.
No. Oh, man.
But man, what a servant thing to do. And like, he's the example, right? That we're trying to follow. But man, it's like, really think about it. Like if you haven't done it before, like really think about what that actually feels like to like put your hands on someone's feet and wash them.
Yeah.
And it's kind of eye opening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I did it one time and I was like, whoa, I did not. There's something that like you just don't get it fully until you actually do it.
Yeah.
And then you realize how incredible that was.
Yeah.
That Jesus did. And I mean, their feet were gross too.
I was about to say, like, you really want to get a good feel.
This is not modern day.
Make sure whoever's feet you're washing,
they wear sandals.
Let them walk around in sandals for a week. Just 1 week.
Yeah. Right. Very, in the dry summer, day. Right in the middle of summer.
Let them walk around in sandals that day.
Yeah.
Make sure they get a little baths. Make sure they walk through a little bit of dirt with their sandals and then have them come get their feet washed.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Man. What an example.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So yeah, that is so good. This idea of powerlessness. It also makes me think about the idea that unity, again, I mean, you hear me say it's not something we stir up. It's not something we make happen. We have no power to walk in the type of unity God is calling us to. Like we can't make that unity happen. That's something that unity happens because God has said, this is how it's going to be.
Because we're following his way.
Because we're following his way, right? And so it's one of those things to where he's the one that really makes the unity happen, or makes the unity exist. It's more like we're choosing to step under that umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
Are we choosing to walk in it? The unity that he's already called us to, has already given us. Man, so much of Christianity, I feel like, is learning to walk in and realize what God has already done.
Mm.
Like so much of it.
Yeah.
I mean, we think, come on.
Well, I love the idea of, so the discipleship we always use, yeah, calls Jesus shaped life.
Yeah.
And this idea of just like, that's what we're trying to do is just,
yeah,
learn how to do what Jesus did.
Yeah.
And, it is, that's a challenge.
Absolutely.
That's enough.
Oh man. Right. Okay. No, number five. Passion. How deeply do you feel and share in the burdens of others? Now, if that's not crying unity, I don't know what else is.
Yes. Carrying each other's burdens.
Carrying each other's burdens and just caring deeply, right? Mm-hmm. Like having that passion for one another just automatically makes me think, you know, when one weeps, you know, we weep with them. If one is hurt, we're hurt with them. One celebrates, we rejoice with them. Like that's having that passion that you feel and share the burdens of others.
Yeah.
I think that's big.
And recognizing that we're all going to have our highs and lows.
Yeah.
So I think oftentimes we struggle with that because we have of our own lows maybe, but also just because it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that we got lots of things to do, which isn't necessarily true.
Yeah.
A lot of those things are social media, like we talked about last time.
Exactly.
but it takes work and maybe sacrifice.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand of that, there is a time when we're going to need that.
Yeah. Well, and then, I mean, come on, if we want to be honest, it's hard to love, and it's hard to have like an open, soft heart to things because it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think about,
there's an opportunity for hurt too.
Absolutely.
That could be even deeper.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I think about, and I love it when, and I know some people like this where it's, they see something or they know of something and like it breaks their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there's not even so much that they can do about it, but it breaks their heart. And, man, it would be so much easier to just not care.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think about that with like trafficking and stuff.
Yeah.
That stuff breaks my heart. I was watching this Tim Tebow. I'm going to shout out to Tim Tebow right now. Boom. What he's doing with that is incredible. I'm like, man, I kind of want to join that a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause that, it does. It like breaks my heart.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a real deep way.
Yeah. And I think what it's like Rocky says, it's not about how hard you can punch, but how many hits you can take and keep going.
Mm-hmm.
To me, one of the things that shows just how amazing God's love is and how strong he is and how strong that love is that he sees and takes on so much of the hurt in humanity.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just like, man.
Yeah. We can't even imagine how big of a burden that is.
There's no way there's no way. And it's not that he's like, oh, I don't care about these people. Obviously he does. Right.
Well,
like,
yeah. He sent his son to die for it.
Right. And it's like, man, how amazing is that? And how strong do you have to be to keep on loving that way after feeling the hurt time and time again, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to keep your heart open to people after feeling the hurt time and time again. And so it's just, wow.
And we do it because it matters.
Yeah, because it matters. Because
it does matter.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've been recently thinking about, that this actually can really appeal to us in many ways.
Yeah.
I think especially as men,
mm-hmm,
that we are actually not just called to come and be in worship. We're called to be warriors.
Yeah.
And we're called to go and fight for those who can't fight for themselves.
Exactly.
And there is like that protection thing that's built into us.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just want to encourage that in people. Yeah. In the men of the church, like, get into the fight.
Yeah. Well, and I think passion is one of those things.
Yeah.
Like,
it is.
You have,
like,
to be passionate to,
like,
be
see the
to
need
on.
Yeah. And get passionate about it.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Oh man, that's one of the reasons why you see they call, you know, Jesus's crucifixion and what they call that, the passion of Christ.
Yeah.
Right.
Cause he was so passionate about us.
Yeah.
That he was willing to go through all that.
Exactly. Yeah. It's something you're willing to suffer for. Right. And that is, yeah, I feel like, especially as warriors, as men of God, as men of prayer, men of justice, you know, men that want to see things set right, that we need to allow ourselves to feel the hurt, the sting, and be passionate about certain things, because that's when we will go after it. That's when you see, you know, David showing what it means to be a man of valor. Right. Because he was passionate about God's name being honored. And so he was willing to step onto that battlefield. Right. And it's like those things that we're passionate about, then we're willing to suffer and work hard for them. Right. And go to battle for them. And so, yeah, that's something that I hope for a lot of us, that we will not harden our hearts. Yeah. Towards the things that are hard to hear and see, but we allow them to stir passion up in us.
Yeah.
And do something about it. And so, yeah, I think, yeah, how deeply do you feel and share in the burdens of others? That's definitely a unity thing. Having that passion, for unity, for the body of Christ, for his honor, for, how people view his church and him being honored from that. And when I say view the church, cause I've said that a few times, it's not like, oh, we need to put on a good face, type of don't let it come across like, oh yeah, we just need to make sure we have a good image,
just
put on a
pretty.
Nice face. Right.
Yeah.
No, it's this idea of, again, reflecting on Jesus's prayer. He says, when the world sees this, right.
And people are drawn to passion.
Come on now.
Like, it, whether it's for God or not,
yeah.
People are drawn to passion.
Yeah.
And so, like, be passionate about God.
Yeah. So, yeah. So it's one of those things where, I mean, we'll be recognized by our love. When we're in unity, when we're one, Jesus says that the world will know that God sent him. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, let's make that happen. Let's work with that prevenience. Let's work with that and, and step and flow with that rather than, working against the stream.
Yeah.
So here we go. Last one. Proclamation. How naturally does the gospel flow from your life and relationships?
Ooh. So not from your mouth.
Oh. Oh.
From your life and relationships.
Your life. And I would even add your mouth in there.
No, it is.
I would even
add your mouth too.
That can be hard too.
But if it's just your mouth and not your life and your actions, then people won't follow it.
Yeah. Well, and we've even talked about before, you know, what we say and how is that communicating to other people, right? And when I think about this idea of proclamation, I would say how naturally does the gospel flow from your life and relationships? How naturally do people see the truth of the gospel that God sent Jesus? Like I was just saying, right? How naturally do people see in your relationships with your love with one another? How naturally does that flow from your life and your relationships? How naturally does unity within the body of Christ flow in your life and your relationships? Can people see that? Can people look at your life and your relationships, the things that you're saying, what you're putting out there and what you're doing and say, man, that's a people who love one another. That's a people who are united and care for one another. They're about Jesus. They're about that saying, they're about making Jesus famous, and they're just all about that together. Yeah. I think that's proclamation.
We got work to do.
We got work to do. We got work to do.
We should constantly be looking at that. And man, me as much as anybody else. Like, gotta look at our lives and be like, how are we doing this well?
Yeah, exactly. And so I feel like those are great questions on each of these. Again, it's that presence, proximity, prevenience, powerlessness, passion, proclamation. I would say I'm going to give you a sec because I'm going to say them real quick and you can tap on the same ones I do. But I want you to come up with a quick practice for each of these. Okay. So when it comes
like
to
how to
mm-hmm. implement this in your life when it comes to. When it comes to practicing these things and seeing more unity with the body of Christ in your life, how do you do this? So when it comes to presence, I think a big thing there is like recognizing where you are for a reason. And so I'm gonna tag a lot of these with prayer is God helping you to recognize where you're at for a reason mm-hmm. and connecting to those things and like giving yourself fully to it. Those relationships, those problems, those situations, the people around you. We always like to say the people, problems, and places, mm-hmm. right? Like God has put you somewhere to be present and to be active there. And so do that.
I was, let me add to that.
Yeah.
On that one, I think recognizing your self-worth is really huge in that one because a lot of times we just think we're not making a difference or, and those are lies of the enemy, right?
Come on now.
Like I'm not good enough to do this. Right. All those things. So like being present and understanding that you do, if God put you there, you do have something.
Yeah. You're bringing something to
you're
the
bringing
table.
Something.
Yeah, absolutely.
And especially if you're relying on him through that, he's going to use you if you're willing to be used.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh man, that's so good. Proximity, engaging in those daily relationships, like mm-hmm. have your people. Yeah. Make it a regular thing to reach out and I'm going to push that envelope and say, don't just wait for the weekly get together. Like make sure exchange numbers, and reach out. And I'm going to say numbers, not social media.
And don't let being an introvert be an excuse.
Yes.
So this one's come easier on for the extroverts, right? Yeah. Because we're like, I want to be hanging out with people all the time.
I try to, they just don't respond to me.
I try to overdo it.
Right. Introvert, respond. Okay. Respond. Respond to your extrovert. that prevenience, just tagging with that in the prayer, like, so me and my girls, we do this. Every day, especially on weekdays, like before going to school and whatnot, we always pray, God, help us to give us eyes to see and ears to hear you.
That's it.
Help us to know what you're doing around us and to be a part of it.
Yeah. Because we have free will, right?
Yeah.
So we need to ask God. Yeah. We need to allow, like we need to ask him in and say, Lord, I want you to control me a little bit today. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'm going to surrender a little bit so that you can use me today.
Yeah. And it's just that also just awareness, like heighten my awareness, like, you know, give me spidey sense so that I can be in tune to what you're doing and step into it. Powerlessness, man, that embracing serving others and not trying to make things happen
and the service of others.
Yes. And the service of and that's allowing people thing. Allow others to serve you.
Are you going to let someone else wash your feet?
Come on now.
Cause how often, especially leaders in the church were like, I got it together. You don't need to help me.
Exactly.
It's like, no, you need help sometimes.
I feel like that is one of the hardest things to overcome in ministry. When you're in ministry, when you're a minister, one of the hardest things to overcome is that idea of having that place
others
you can
serve
let
you.
Your guard down, let others serve you, and being human.
Yeah. Be okay being on the meal train.
Exactly.
Right? Because sometimes you're like, well, I'm always organizing the meal train.
Yeah.
It feels weird for me to let someone else serve me in that way. Like that happens, right?
Yeah.
I've seen that a lot of times. It's no, let people serve you.
Yeah.
You're robbing them of their blessing.
Yeah. I'm good, you know, coaching other people, giving some counseling.
I'm
some
the one who knows.
Words.
I'm going to tell you how to. Yeah.
It's hard for me to sit down and listen to someone else try to encourage me.
Right.
And edify me or, you know, give me some guidance and those types of things.
Yeah.
I'm good with people coming to me and confessing.
Mm-hmm.
But man, it's hard
to
for
go
me
to, them
to go
and confess.
Confess.
Yeah.
Oh,
preach.
Yeah.
Come on.
So yeah,
be willing to confess and let other people serve you.
Right. So, yeah. So that powerlessness, I think that's big. Just pulling back, trying not to make things happen, course, anything, but just knowing that you're there to serve.
Yeah. It's a good exercise in humility, right?
It is.
And that's something God just calls us to. So if we're not exercising that muscle and mm-hmm. practicing how to be in those places, we're going to struggle a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're talking about those kind of quick takeaways. I want you to find someone that you disagree with and serve them. Mm. Honor them.
That's good. I'm going to take that challenge. Let's do that this week.
Let's do it. The next one, passion. Allow your heart to be broken. And I feel like that's tough.
Taking off the protectionism.
Yeah.
So to
speak. Take off, like, allow your heart to be broken when something comes across your path that we would tend to harden our hearts against. I just want to say, allow your heart to be broken. And that doesn't mean all the time that you're going to break down and hand over your credit card or your hopefully you just have a debit card. But it doesn't mean you're going to, break down and hand over all your money or whatnot at that moment, but allowing something to sit with you to where it becomes part of your prayers, to where you're asking God, what can I do? And you're willing to take some action rather than just hardening and closing up because it's too hard. So yeah.
And that could be willing to be a listener to someone too. Mm-hmm. I think would be a good practice of that.
Yeah.
Like when someone comes to you, like sometimes I do this sometimes, it can easily turn it back towards myself or be like, well, I'm going through something too, but being willing to just sit and listen to what they're going through. And that's showing a passion for them.
Yeah. And say, God, give me empathy. Mm. Like, give me empathy. We know the prayer, God, break my heart for what breaks yours.
Yeah.
Give me empathy. And then the last one, proclamation. How naturally does the gospel flow from your life and your relationships? How naturally do people see the truth and the power of God sending Jesus to earth through your life and your relationships? He said that the world would know when we're walking in unity. Mm-hmm. So I think, honestly, if you're taking and you're practicing these things from the first five P's, then that is going to happen.
Yeah.
That proclamation is just going to be there.
Yeah. But I think taking there's a verse on this. It's actually in the 12-step program, I think.
Okay.
But it's taking a moral inventory of yourself. Mm. Like, how often do we just sit and like think of like, where am I at? What am I doing?
Yeah.
How is my, what am I showing here?
Yeah.
And then it's, I think it's part of the amends one. Like, do I need to go ask someone for forgiveness? Do I need to forgive someone?
Yeah.
Like sometimes we were like, we've forgotten about something or just tried to push it away. Some wrong or something like that. Is there someone that I need to go talk to right now?
Yeah.
That's that moral inventory piece. And so I think that'd be an interesting or a good tool to use for that one is like, where's my life not showing that?
Yeah.
Because I haven't done those things that God, Jesus called me to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I think another, and this, I like saying, like trying to encourage people out of their comfort zone. This one might be a little awkward, but maybe you have some people where maybe God's bringing some people to your mind, your heart. Mm-hmm. Can you reach out regularly and just remind them, hey, I'm on your team. Mm-hmm. Like I'm here. Whatever words you want to use. I feel like on your team is the most, friendly, universal way of saying it. But if you want to go extra holy and be like, I want us to be on one accord. I want to be on one accord with you. But however you want to say it, right.
Just letting people know,
like, this is my desire is to be on your team, to be on the same page as you. Actually putting your words to it can be a practice there. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's good. Think that's it.
Yeah.
I think that's it for today. And I know we have, what's it called? another one coming up here soon. Hopefully we can get calendars locked in.
Yeah.
Make it happen. And we'll have another one coming out soon. But this was a great one. Definitely we'll link this in the show notes so that people can go check out this article and be encouraged to live that incarnational mission way. And then also just remember like how this applies to us being the body of Christ, walking in unity with one another. So we appreciate it. Make sure you guys do the things, the like, share, subscribe, follow. But more than anything, be part of the conversation. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Thank you for joining us for the In Hope podcast. Hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Remember, we want you to be part of the conversation. So comment, like, share, and follow. Also, we want you to consider being a ministry partner with us. For as little as $2 a month, you can help continue this podcast and other ministries that teach about unity and invest in collaborative efforts. Connect with us via social media throughout the week, and we look forward to seeing you next week on Monday on the In Hope podcast.